Welcome to this week's episode of the Baseball Together podcast, Baseball Family. No current events this week. We're just going to get straight into our interview with Armand Rosamilia. He is an author and a member of the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America, as well as a co-host of the IBWAA podcast. Enjoy.
Nine Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family. Today we are joined by a special guest. We have Armand Rosamilia. He is an author, also a member of the IBWAA. So we're going to get into some of that later. But we're going to start right now with the way we treat all of our guests, with a rundown. So, Armand, first question for you, sir. What is your quest?
My quest, we won't do the money crowdfunding thing.
Although that's the point.
And I could probably still do the whole damn thing from memory. My quest is to continue to live my dream of being a full time author.
Very nice. Very good.
Next question, Armand. What is your favorite color?
Red. No, blue.
Very good.
That's the best answer we've had, actually.
I feel like he's the first person to get it, Brig. I don't think anybody else has gotten it.
Yeah.
Up to this point.
I'm old, though. I'm going to be 51 soon. So I've watched that movie, I don't know, about 1,000 times as a kid.
Join the club.
Very appropriate.
All right. So we know you're into metal, metalhead. Who would you hire to write a heavy metal song about baseball?
As much as I am a Red Sox fan, I think Scott Ian and the guys from Anthrax, because they're huge Yankees fans, but they are definitely baseball. They're definitely baseball fans.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's a great answer. As a Yankees fan, I will affirm that. But speaking of the Red Sox, if your favorite team were a beverage, what would it be? If the Red Sox were a beverage?
The Red Sox were, you know, it would have to be something red, a Bloody Mary.
You just got to get over it in the morning, right? Yeah.
Right. especially the year they just had, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
With what you're used to. What is the name of your yacht?
So the name of my yacht. So this is funny because I actually have an answer here. It would be the Goomba, and I'm going to tell you why. Because my dad, when The Sopranos first came out, he swore that was the name of Tony Soprano's yacht for some reason, and it wasn't. But he was arguing with my mother for like an hour about it, and I finally just was like, you know what? I'm just gonna Google this, and it was totally wrong. But I always remembered he thought it was the Goomba for some reason.
I love it.
That's amazing. So you'd call yours the Goomba? Fabulous.
Right.
Awesome.
What's one of the unchecked items on your baseball bucket list?
You know, I have never been to a bunch of stadiums, but I would love to go to Dodger Stadium. I've never been out there. I'm not necessarily a Dodgers fan, but I would love to go and, you know, hang out with all the celebrities and leave by the seventh inning.
Just like the rest of them. Doesn't that break one of your rules, though? I was listening to your audiobook, and like I said, we'll get into more of that later, but I believe you said you don't leave until the last out is made.
You stay to the very end. You stay to the last pitch. Doesn't matter what the score is. Doesn't matter what's going on.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that.
All three of us nodding emphatically.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're like, yes.
For sure. All right. Another item that I thought was really cool is your Red Sox room. What is your favorite item in your Red Sox room?
Oh, there's so many. You know, I think one of the best items is we have a really cool bat collection now that we've gotten from players over the years. And I think the cool one is a guy that you probably never heard of. He had a cup of coffee with the White Sox, but with catcher Adrian Naito. And he gave us one of his bats, but he gave us one of his White Sox bats, which was pretty cool. So it's signed by him and everything, but I thought that was a pretty cool
thing.
That's
awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, your last question in this rundown. Who would be the most feared baseball player ever if they were a zombie?
You know, Big Poppy comes to mind. I mean, he's a pretty big dude. Or back in the day, Dave Stewart with that stare. That he would be pretty intimidating as a zombie.
I could see it, eyes glazed over, a little milky, and still the stare into the middle distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great answer.
I do have a follow-up. I have a follow-up for that, though, real quick. Would his bigness be quite so intimidating as a zombie? Because he probably wouldn't be quite so big, right? Like, you'd have the height, but you wouldn't have the girth. Is that true?
Yeah, he still had that look, though. I mean, it's all about that stare.
Yeah, there it is.
Even as a zombie, he'd have that stare. All right.
Yeah. Well, you're the resident zombie expert. We just had to get that out of there.
Yeah. All right, Armand, you made it through the rundown.
Well, I think you made it safe to the base, actually. That's perfect.
I think so. Excellent choice of answers. So let's take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into more about Armand and the things that he does. All right. That's great. That was awesome, Armand. Thank you. That's one of our favorite things that we do is that rundown. But
I like that. I've done a couple interviews today for the IBWA podcast, okay. But I've had a couple of people that are just very total serious. We just want to talk baseball, and I'm like, oh, okay, so. This is nice.
Yes!
It's nice to just be able to bullshit, you know?
Yeah, that's the way we roll.
We really try not to take ourselves too seriously. I mean, I've got a pink energy drink, and yeah, we're not real serious around here.
Mine is pink as well,
nice.
Brad.
That's very nice.
That's nice. Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
Whew, long day. Okay.
Okay, Brig, you want to go ahead and lead us in?
All right. Yes, I do. All right, we'll jump into segment two in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, baseball family. Again, we're here with Armand Rosamilia, and one of the things that we love most about him is that he's a writer. Brad and I are also writers. We have that in common, the three of us, and he wrote a book called My View from the Seat, and it's about your time with the Jumbo Shrimp. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Very, very exciting. What we want to do is get into that a little bit. My first question is, I guess, broad stroking this a little bit, but what inspired you to write that? But first, let's get into what inspired you to become a writer in the first place. You said it's your dream to live out your life as a full-time writer. Tell us more about the genesis of all of this.
I was, I think it started when I was about 12 years old, and growing up in New Jersey, me and my brother's about a year and a half younger than me, and we were awful kids. I mean, we used to beat the crap out of each other. We used to break stuff. And my mother was a housewife, so, you know, you couldn't get really away from her. She was always there. We always got in trouble. And at 12, we were literally punished for the entire summer between school years. I mean, from the last day of school till the beginning of school, like that entire summer, watching all the other kids outside playing kickball and football and stuff. And I got punished. I was put into my parents' room, and my brother got to stay in our room because we shared a room. And he got to play with all the toys and everything. And, you know, this is back in the, you know, the 80s, early 80s, like 81, 82. There's no TV in mom and dad's room.
Right.
So all I had were books. And my mother, I mean, to this day, she's a huge horror fan. So there was tons and tons of paperbacks with monsters and spiders and stuff. And I started reading Dean Koontz books. And like the entire summer, I like blew through. I was blown through, like, you know, every day I was blown through like one or two books. Wow. And that was really for me. I mean, that was really the thing. And when my mom saw that I was such a fan, she would go through, which is funny, she would go through books and she would cross out all the dirty parts. So, like, I was at 12 years old, I'm reading, and, like, oh, the couple, they go into the movie theater, and he turns to her, and then four pages are crossed out, and then the spider's chasing them down the street kind of thing.
Or books.
Yeah, so it was funny. Like, she would have to read them first in order for me to look at them. So that was really that was my love. I mean, at you know, whatever it is, seventh grade, what do you got to do? You know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody's writing things on fire. I want to be a police officer, a fireman, a football star, whatever. I was like, I want to be a writer. And it took me a long time. I've been full time for 8 years now, making a living at this. I've written over 200. I've had over 200 stories published, crime thrillers, a lot of horror books, contemporary nonfiction. But I've also done contemporary fiction, but I've also done fiction. I did a book years ago, a series of books called Metal Queens, and it was about women in heavy metal, not just musicians, but fans and people behind the scenes. And then I did a book about 8 or 9 years ago about a wrestling federation, Southern Championship Wrestling, down here in Florida in Indy. And so it's just like kind of things that I was always interested in. That's kind of what led me to do the book about the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Yeah, that's the next question I have is, how did you get into baseball writing briefly? And then the book is about your view from the seat. So how did you pick your seat?
So what happened was 2015, my wife and I, she had like an event, you know, where they would give you seats and they would give you tickets to a game here in Jacksonville. It's the Double A for the Miami Marlins. And she did not come from a baseball family, a sports family at all. Whereas I grew up in a crazy baseball family. So she's like, you want to go to the game? And she's like, eh, we'll go. It's free tickets and we'll eat and stuff. So when we went, she saw how excited I was to be at a game. And I knew some of the players and I knew, you know, the other team. And I was like, oh, you got to watch this guy. He's a prospect. So she kind of got into it. So the next year we bought like a half a season just to see if she would like it. And she loved it. And so we got season tickets for 2017. And we started knowing each other, everybody there. We started knowing the people who worked there and all that. And it was maybe a couple weeks, 3-4 weeks into the season when all of a sudden I was just like, you know what? This would make a great book. It's their first year as the Jumbo Shrimp. They've been the Jacksonville Suns forever. And let me just basically cold call the general manager and go, hey, I want to do a book. And they were so receptive. They were like, you can come to the stadium anytime you want. You can interview players. You can interview everybody. And even the owner, Ken Babby, was like, oh my God, I would love to be part of this book. And so it was really neat to be able to do that. So during the season, we would go to a lot of away games and hang out with players and talk to players. And it just got to be really cool. And it was really cool for me when the owner of the team comes down and shakes my hand and goes, hey, let's go talk. And everybody around us is like, why is he going to hang out with the owner, you know? So so it was really cool. But the book is, it's more than just a wrap-up of the season. It's also just my life as a baseball fan. You know, like I said, even though I grew up in New Jersey, I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. My mother and my brother are diehard Yankees fans, and my dad's actually a Detroit Tigers fan. So growing up in the 70s when they were all in the same division, you know, that was the AL East back then, it was great, just the arguments and everything.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, Armand, I was going through listening to the book, and some of the things I caught on to was you mentioned a lot of players that we've all pretty much become familiar with over the last couple of years, you know, and you've seen them. You got to watch them play up close and personal in Double A. Like one guy who jumped out to me particularly is Austin Nola, just because of the time he spent in Seattle. I'm a big Mariners fan, and he's a guy that I like a lot. When you see guys, like you mentioned to your wife, this guy's a prospect. When you see guys who come in and like, are you specifically watching the prospects, or are you keeping an eye on everybody on the field thinking, you know, this guy has potential to break through as kind of a, who was a nobody? Is that kind of your mindset? Are you just keeping your eye on the prospects in those games?
You know, I noticed the prospects. You know, Ronald Acuna comes in and he had only been in Double A for 2 or 3 games at that point. And I knew the name. And I think he hit 2 home runs against us that night. And, you know, there's guys that come through so quickly and you just know they're going to be stars. And then there's those players that are out there that are just really, you know, giving it their all and you know, this, the intangible, that's, it's the guys you root for, you know, and that's, for me, and it's even on the other team. I mean, obviously all the Marlins prospects and all the Marlins players coming in, but anytime, you know, you're seeing other teams, there's only 10 teams in the division in the Southern League, and you play a 5-game series. So you get a chance to see these guys day after day. And so it's neat, especially when you'll see a certain guy and then the next series they come back into town and then that guy's already moved up. And then you're like, well, who's the next big prospect coming in? So it's a lot of fun. I kind of keep it all in my head and I'll let my wife know, okay, we're watching this guy, you know, this is the guy, or this is the pitcher. And it's also fun when guys come back that have been traded, or they were with the Jumbo Shrimp the year before, and now they're on another team. And, you know, I'll say, hey, you know, who's pitching for Birmingham? That's Mike Kickham, who pitched for us for the last 2 years, you know? So it's really neat for me.
You mentioned the X factor. That's something we talk about a lot, is those intangibles and, you know, the culture around baseball and its players. How do you reconcile that with a statistics crazed culture that's emerged in baseball, and how does that make you feel, and what would you say as far as advice on managing that?
You know, I'm old school, so it's on the field. I'm not really the you know, let's look at their WAR and let's look at, you know, let's look at numbers and all this. Yeah, I mean, that stuff's important, but I think it's more important the makeup of the player. You know, what do they do? Hey, you're hitting, you know, 109 versus lefties, but that's not going to be your statistic for the rest of your career, or you're not going to have a long career. So what are they doing? Are they frustrated and all that? We've been very lucky because the last couple of years I've actually been president of the booster club for the team. So me and my wife have gotten to help put, we put barbecues together for the players when the players go on the road. Of course, it didn't happen this year, but year before, we would do their snack bags. We would get lists of what kind of Gatorade they like, what kind of snacks, and we got to know the players. In fact, we've had about a dozen players that have lived with us now over the years. So it's like, you know, it's great to be able to see that makeup, see these kids that are, you know, they're the age of our kids. Our kids are grown and out of the house, and these are 20-year-old kids that are, you know, living here, and they're having dinner with us sometimes, and they're hanging out, and we're going to the games, and we know literally all the players, and we're finding out stuff as it happens. You know, when Jordan Yamamoto got sent up to the majors, there's a video of him getting on the team bus, and he used to cut everybody's hair, and the manager comes on, and Kevin says, hey, we don't have any room. You got to get your stuff off the bus. And you can see Jordan is so confused. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, get your stuff off the bus. I want your stuff off the bus now. And he was like almost getting upset. And then he was like, Kevin Rayl was like, dude, you're going to the majors. Get your crap off the bus. You're getting on a plane. And then the bus erupts. But we got to see that video. Like, a player sent us the video like minutes after it happened. You know what I mean? So, I mean, we get to see a lot of that. There's a player who lived with us for 2 or 3 years, Kyle Keller, who was traded to the Angels, and he pitched for the Angels as a reliever. And, I mean, when he got brought up to the majors the first time, probably the third or fourth call was to my wife to let her know that I'll be in Atlanta in you know, tomorrow kind of thing. So, I mean, it's really neat. Some of the players that have stayed here, Victor Mesa, who's, you know, from $5 million signing from Cuba, lived with us last year. Lewin Diaz, who made his major league debut. So we've had a lot of really cool players that have lived with us, or we've gotten a chance to just hang out and just meet. So it's really neat.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, you seem like you're pretty plugged in with the Jumbo Shrimp, which is super cool. I worked for a minor league organization for a summer as an intern. I thought it was a ton of fun, but I'm curious, are you plugged in enough with the team? Do you kind of have a pulse on what's going on with everything given the COVID season or lack thereof? minor league baseball contraction as it seems to be going. Are the Jumbo Shrimp a team that's going to be able to stick around with their affiliation with that minor league baseball, or are they potentially on their way out?
No, actually, they are. It's not official yet, but it will be soon enough. They're actually going to be moved up to AAA.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's awesome. Yes. That's great.
Yeah, they're actually going to be moved up. So they did. Marlins are doing a little shuffle. Again, they haven't announced anything official yet, but it's looking like they're going to go to AAA, and then we'll get a new AA, which will be Pensacola.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. That's an awesome stadium, the Pensacola one. It looks out over the bay.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just gorgeous out there. So, yeah, we're pretty happy with them going to AAA. A lot of the players that would have moved up now, they would have went to Wichita. And our thing was, that's like 15 hours of driving to Wichita. Have a good time, guys. So now at least we'll get to see the guys that get moved up again, which will be really neat.
That was one of the things Brig and I talked about initially when we were reading about the whole contraction thing, and that it seems like they're making things more geographically convenient for the organizations. You know, like 15 hours away to Wichita, that's awful. And I remember when guys were getting called up, I was with the Orem Owls, they're getting called up to like Burlington, Arkansas or something like that. You know, it's like you've got to make a drive overnight out to Burlington. Yeah. Seriously, you know, like it's unreal, but I think it makes actually a lot of sense the way they're doing things with that.
I think that part definitely. I mean, look at the Washington Nationals; they had Fresno, was their triple. I mean, you're flying across the country. It's not like, hey, we need a guy for tomorrow. You got to hope that you can get planes and layovers and everything else. I mean, the logistics of it is ridiculous. I'm interested to see they're in AAA, but I'm interested to see what they're doing with the actual leagues, because they're adding leagues. They're going to add a couple of new leagues, and they're going to cut the amount of teams down in each league. So I think it'll be interesting going forward. It's a shame for the teams that are losing affiliation, because I think some of those, like Daytona, you know, Jackie Robinson Stadium here, you know, that's a great, great little stadium, but they're basically not going to have a team now, they're saying.
What factor does community support play into that? And what have you seen from your community that's maybe been a factor in standing this up?
Well, you know, I think it's one of the things I know they looked at is the attendance and different things like that. So Jacksonville, actually, I think last year or the year before, was actually asked. I know they were asked to go AAA, and they declined because they didn't want to put millions of dollars into the stadium and services and all the other stuff. And then, you know, it's a whole different thing. You know, you got to remember the AAA teams are paying for travel and all that. So it's a difference between we rent a bus, we have the Jumbo Shrimp bus, or we got to get a plane. We got to get a plane because you're AAA, you're flying everywhere usually. So I think the money part of it was why they said no. Now with MLB taking over minor league baseball, you really don't have a choice. It's really like, hey, you know, this is it. You're no longer, you know, all these teams had contracts with their, you know, with the major league team. And like every even year, you'd sign a 2 or 4 year contract to stay in, basically. Well, that's all gone. Now it's basically like, until the Marlins say we don't want you anymore, you're going to be part of the Marlins and stuff. I think on one hand, it's fun for the fans, you know, as long as you still have a team, because you know, more than likely, unless they add more major league teams, we're going to see the Marlins players year in, year out going through the system, and we're not going to have to worry about, you know, 2 years or 4 years of, say, somebody else coming in.
Yeah, that uncertainty is one of the things that actually turned me off a lot to minor league, was that, you know, growing up, I kind of grew up in a minor league area in the Portland, Oregon area. We had I think it was the High A Rockies for a while, and I was kind of like, A, I don't know if these guys are going to be the Rockies next year or 2 years. You know, most of these guys, I have no idea who they are, and it was one thing that always turned me off growing up. But I think the consistency of it, and also the stronger connection, I feel like is something that can attract more fans to it and have a little bit stronger fan base. But Anyways, let's switch gears here a little bit. Let's go to the IBWAA, for those who don't know, the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America. I just want to know, how did you get involved with that organization?
You know, I got involved with it because I wrote the book about the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, and I was looking for, you know, it's always networking. As an author, the writing is such a tiny little part of what you have to do to get out there and gain new readers. And that was one of the things for me. I had heard about it, and obviously as a baseball fan, I had checked it out a couple times, but I had no reason to join until I did this book. And it was great. I mean, I immediately started networking with a lot of different players and everything. And then recently they had a changeover of ownership, which is great because the two guys, Dan and Jonathan, are really bringing it into 2020. So they started the podcast, they started the newsletter, they're revamping the website, they're adding more people in, they're really going out and bringing more baseball fans in. And it's, you know, it's baseball writers, but it really wasn't defined of what that means. So if you have a blog, if you have a podcast, if you anything that has to do with baseball, you know, you're basically welcome to join. And I think that's the cool part. So it's definitely, I don't know the numbers, but it's definitely, we've gotten a lot more members recently, and we've been doing the podcast for about 3 months or 4 months now. And it's neat because I just do a 20-minute segment every episode where I interview another IBWAA member. And again, it's, for me, it's selfish because it's networking. It's meeting guys and then them saying, hey, come on my podcast, or you want to write a guest post, or they're picking my brain about something. So for me, it's awesome. I mean, I could talk baseball. I could talk with you two. I could talk for hours.
Well, we could talk with you for hours, Armand. This is great. This is already terrific.
So tell us. Go ahead, Brig.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. You win.
Brig, I insist.
No, I've had it.
So, Armand, I was actually going to save this for the end, but I'll go ahead right now because we've only got a few minutes left here. But I heard in your book, like I said, listen to the audiobook today, and I heard you said there is no good pizza in Florida. Is that true?
That is very true. I'm spoiled. I come from New Jersey. I mean, right. there's you know, I visit, so I do a book tour every year with other authors from Jersey, and we do like 2 weeks. We just do in breweries up there. So I get, we have beers, we get drunk, and we sell books. But I also do the first year, my wife's from here in Jacksonville. She had never been up there. And the first year we were going to do it, she's like, all right, well, let's make a list of like people you want to see and things. And I'm like, all right, well, so we're going to go to Seaside Heights for pizza. We got to go to this place for pizza. We got to go to Rutt's Hut for hot dogs. We got to go to Keyport Fishery. And she's like, wait, these are all food places. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, don't you want to see people? I'm like, let's make a list of where we're going. And if they want to meet me there, but I'm not changing my plans. These are the places that the most important thing is beer, selling books, and eating, you know, real good food up there. So we do that. We do that every year.
That's amazing. I am there for that.
Yeah. We plan our vacations and we're like, okay, where do we want to eat while we're there?
Yeah.
You know, like my wife's in Southern California, we would go visit her family. Like, okay, we need to go through A through double Z in 5 days, you know, while we're there. Cause we got to hit those places. I totally understand that. I get it. Yeah. If you want to come see me while I'm eating, that's fine. But
yeah. And we've had a lot of, so like being down here, there's no White Castle. So we did a convention years ago in Kentucky, and I was so excited because I hadn't been to White Castle in like 10 years. And I actually did I actually recorded a podcast episode in the White Castle with a bunch of authors sitting around, all of us eating White Castle. There's a picture of me smiling, holding a White Castle, and for me, I was like, if nobody shows up to record, I don't care. I'm eating White Castle. I'm fine.
Brad, we got to take this show on the road, man.
We do. I know.
That's the best idea I've ever heard.
So where do you eat then in Jacksonville? Like, what is there to eat in Jacksonville?
I mean, there's some good, like, there's Whataburger. I like Whataburger.
Okay, we have Whataburger here.
It's a good burger. we try to eat all the local places. There's a place, Metro Diner, which is amazing. It's been on like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. So there's a lot of, we eat at a lot of local places here. But for me, like, there's good pizza, but there's not great pizza. You know, when we first went up there, we went to the Boardwalk, which is not great pizza. It's Boardwalk pizza. But, you know, the slice is like this big. It's like the size of my wife's head. And she's like, oh, my God, this is so good. And I'm like, yeah, this is just like, all right. You know, everything's so big. You know, we go there and she orders a sub in New Jersey. And the guy's, she's like, I'll get a hole. And he's like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah. And the thing's literally like out the door, like we're sitting in the car. And she's like, why don't you tell me? I'm like, I just assume everybody knew. Because, you know, you're used to like a foot long down here. I'm like, that thing's like 6 foot long. You know.
Okay, so on the subject of food, Armand, what is your favorite fourth inning snack? We have a tradition about the fourth inning. We're like, all right, it's time for the thing. What do you get up and grab?
I don't get up at all. I will not leave my seat during a baseball game. But my wife loves to get up. So after the third inning, she'll get up, and it's usually the best one is the pulled pork nachos in a jumbo shrimp helmet. And we always usually get that, and that's pretty much like that's like the go-to, is because you just, and of course we share it, but then sometimes we get our own because we don't like to share it.
It's funny that you do it at the same time though. It's the you know,
it's like she knows she's getting, and the usher who I interview in the book, Ken, is funny because a couple of times, like, I would get up because I really had to go to the bathroom or something. And he literally was like, are you all right? Is everything all right? Because I don't leave my seat. And I'm like, yeah, I got to go to the bathroom. Like, get out of my way. I got to go, you know.
That's customer service. That's people. That's putting people first. Yeah.
Definitely. So I'm actually like the same way. If I didn't have kids with me, I wouldn't get up from my seat, like, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Yeah, my wife gets up and she'll get food. It's the exact same way. But yeah. No, so are you like locked in on the game?
Oh, I am 100%. Like for me, you know, life and, you know, work and stress of, you know, book deadlines and stuff. And I mean, hey, I have the greatest job in the world. I mean, I don't have to put pants on most days. and you know, I walk back and forth and get coffee. But when I'm at that game, I am 100%. I am every pitch and the players. And I mean, I am just completely where it took my wife a little bit to realize I'm not just being a jerk. I'm locked into the game. So we'll have people around us that'll be talking to me and I'm being a jerk, I'm ignoring people. Or she'll have friends that will come and they'll all be chit chatting and stuff. And then they'll ask me a question. And I'm like, well, I'm watching this, you know, like this is my 2 or 3 hours a night that I just can totally focus on baseball, and there's nothing else going on in the world, and it's great.
Yeah.
I love it. It's awesome. So my last question for you is, where is your seat?
So we have section 102, row J. I'm seat one on the aisle. My wife is seat two, and we have season tickets. So since we didn't have games this year, they said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, we'll just roll our tickets over until next year. So we'll still be there. I put that in the book, what seat it is. And it's really cool because at the gift shop, they sold my book. And so almost every game, people would come down. And I have an ego. I mean, let's be honest. I love standing up. And I always have a pen on me. Oh, who do I sign this to? And, you know, talking about the book and stuff. And then everybody around me will go, wait, who are you? And I'm like, well, you can go buy my book. I'm very famous. Go buy my book.
Please.
go buy me a book and a thing of pulled pork on nachos and a helmet, and I'll be your best friend.
And I'll sign anything you want.
Pretty much, yeah.
Amazing.
That's
so
amazing.
Is that like first base side, third base side? Do you have a preference?
It's like even with the third baseman. So like our first couple of years, we had Brian Anderson was like right there. We watched him, and it was neat because when the game he came out, you know, September call up a couple years ago, and he wasn't there, and we were like, "Where's Brian?" And then we asked the players, and they're like, "He's going to the majors. He's going," and we knew he wasn't coming back. We knew he was going to be a big part of the Marlins going forward. So that was really neat.
That's awesome. That's terrific. I love it.
Well, we just want to say amazing. Thanks to Armand and to all our listeners here for joining us today. For real, this was a terrific conversation. I always feel bad that they have to be so short because we could do this for hours and it's almost painful, but you have some great stories and we're really, really excited to plug your book for you here and get it out to our audience.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys letting me on. This is really cool.
Absolutely. Again, that's View From My Seat. It's actually over his left shoulder there. You can see it in the video if you're watching on YouTube.
There it
is.
See
it right there. You can get it on Amazon, right?
Yep, it's available on Amazon. It's an audiobook.
The audiobook is available on Audible, for sure. That's how I've been listening to it, taking it in, learning more about Armand. And it's great. It goes quick. It's awesome. Really entertaining, a lot of fun. I really liked it, Armand.
I appreciate that.
It's a great book. But again, we really appreciate you coming on with us, and we'll hopefully. I mean, I'd like to have you on again sometime.
Anytime you guys want me, I would love to do this again. This was cool.
I feel like there's a lot of untapped stories that would we really need to get into more of these.
Definitely.
And zombies. Yeah. We could talk zombies too.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Armand.
Thanks, guys.
Well, baseball family, that was Armand Rosamilia. We really appreciate him coming on and joining us for that episode. That was a lot of fun. Make sure you check out his book, A View From My Seat, My Baseball Season with the Jumbo Shrimp. You can get that anywhere books are sold, on Amazon, wherever. You can also get the audiobook on Audible. We actually have a link to an Audible free trial down in our description, down in the doobly-doo. You can follow that, sign up for your free trial with Audible, and you can actually get Armand's book as part of your free trial. So go ahead, go check it out, and thanks again, Armand.
Don't forget to jump on our shop at 9plusus.com. That's NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com for all of your baseball apparel needs, especially with, you know, if somebody's got an event coming up or a birthday or what have you, it's a great place to jump in there and find baseball-themed awesomeness. The end.
Absolutely. For sure. Love it all. And don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also subscribe on YouTube, and you can leave us comments on YouTube. You can leave us comments on social media, Twitter, Instagram. Join our Facebook group, 9plusus VIPs, and also drop us an email in our mailbag. Then you can send us whatever, anything you want. I don't care. If you say you don't like us, this is how you can improve. That'd be awesome too. Or you can send us questions, topics, people you want to try to see us get on the show. Whatever. We don't care. Send it over and we'll definitely respond and give you a shout out.
Yeah.
But baseball family, thanks for joining us and we'll catch you next week.